deepest, darkest grooves, to the backwoods swamp where you hit the bottom, from the inside of your casket to the fears lodged deep inside your subconscious. It's time for a big, scary show.
Boss number two! You're in the big, scary show! Woo!
This is Ed Douglas from Midnight Syndicate, and you are listening to The Big Scary Show.
Mark's Mortis Killing Alabama. Big shout out to Big Scary Show!
This week, on a very special Big Scary Show, the four hosts are back from the Midwest Haunters Convention and have spent all week going through so much material, even if you didn't make it, you'll feel like you have. From the pre-con bus tour, to the trade show floor, to the parties, The Big Scary Show covered it all. We have a very special live roundtable of terror featuring three major players in the world of haunt music. Storm rants on in a haunt minute. The unknown scare actor makes you face your fears once again. The haunt rocker spins some special horror tunes in honor of our roundtable. Badger has the news, including breaking news concerning Midwest Haunters Convention 2013. And a very special thank you goes out to Creepy Collection, who is the exclusive sponsor of this episode's special post-MHC coverage. For the best in haunted house props and animatronics, visit creepycollection.com. All this and much, much more, only on The Big Scary Show.
Good morning, everybody. It's Drew Badger. It's about 7 o'clock in the morning. I am getting into my car, preparing to make that trip to the Midwest Haunters Convention. And boy, oh boy, are we going to have some adventures. I'm looking at about a 8-hour drive up to Columbus, and we better get started here. Safety first, seatbelt, get everything going, and ladies and gentlemen, we are off. Oops, a little Midnight Syndicate to keep me company on the way. So once again, Drew Badger heading out to the Midwest Haunters Convention, Columbus, Ohio, the most amazing convention of the year, slight bit of rain, otherwise should be a fun trip. Let's see what kind of strange time we have. Once again, Drew Badger, and I am out.
Midnight Syndicate. Midnight Syndicate. Born of the night. Born of the night. On the Big Scary Show. Big Scary Show.
everybody. Drew Badger once again on the road to the Midwest Haunters Convention here in beautiful Columbus, Ohio. Well, I'm not here yet. I've actually stopped to have lunch in beautiful, absolutely beautiful Charleston, West Virginia. I had a friend of mine that grew up two doors down from me, the lovely Miss Kim. How are you doing, Kim?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. We just got out of a great little restaurant, had a little lunch, getting ready to head back on the... Oh, my God, look who's walking down the street.
Oh,
it's R.J. Hattie from Sci-Fi's Face Off. Oh, my God, you are from Charleston, aren't you?
I am from Charleston.
R.J., how you doing, man? Good to see you. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Absolutely. Man hug. No. Okay, fine. Okay.
Yeah,
so what's going on?
Thank you for saying that Charleston is beautiful. I always thought it was. It's very picturesque, isn't it?
So tell me what's happened since we spoke to you at HauntCon.
Well, a lot of nothing. Just getting ready for the conventions and, you know, making stuff. I did a demo a couple weeks ago. I've done a seminar since last time I saw you. So, you know, just trying to keep all the irons in the fire and keep the heat going at the same time.
Absolutely. And you are going to be appearing at the Midwest Haunters Convention at a kind of a face-off reunion show, so to speak.
Yeah, we're going to have this a little... panel discussion for everybody, so get your questions ready and we'll see you there.
Well, you know this is going to air after Midwest, so this is kind of worthless what you're saying now, but we do okay. Understand, and hopefully somebody will YouTube it or something.
Yes, there you go.
And Kim, you're a big haunt fan, right? We have discussed a little bit of stuff around.
Yeah, I've had my share of haunted houses participation.
And when you say you've had your share, does that mean you've had enough of them, or?
Oh, no, I've done it.
Oh, okay. Is there
I think
any?
I could work on my skills, though.
Are there any good haunted houses in the Charleston area that you take your kids to every year, or what?
Weberwood Elementary has a really good haunted house we put on every year.
Very cool. You help decorate or do anything like that?
Yeah, I'm one of the scary people.
Oh, excellent.
Okay, that's pretty cool. I'll have to come check it out.
I know. I got to work on my skills, though.
You know, I remember...
After I hear all this, I'm like, oh, we could really turn it up a notch.
I remember hearing a story that Alice Cooper used to decorate the junior high when his kids were there for Halloween. So maybe you can get someone like an R.J. Hattie to come and help decorate for this year.
Oh, that would be awesome.
See, I'm putting, really see awesome. This is all about getting people together and talking and working and everything. Cool. So, who knows? That might be
and
a little
that's
bit...
That's how you got your start back in the haunted house.
Back in the long days, far, far ago, which we won't talk about. But anyway, I'm getting ready to get... Yeah. Time is irrelevant, right?
Yes.
But anyway, Drew Badger here once again in Charleston, West Virginia, getting ready to head down the road and up to Columbus for the Midwest Haunters Convention. R.J. Hattie, great to see you again.
Good to see you.
I guess we'll see you on Sunday.
Yes, sir.
Kim, it's been a pleasure seeing you again. I'm sure we'll chat for a few more minutes before I head up the road. Once again, Drew Badger, Big Scary Show, and I am out. Hello, everybody. Once again, Drew Badger live at the Midwest Haunters Convention, walking the trade show floor, and as I have been in the past, I am completely creeped out at all the creepy clowns and dead bodies and zombie things in this booth. Creepy Collection, I guess it's aptly named. I'm here with Jerry D'Alessandro, all the way from New York by God City. How you doing, Jerry?
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
Oh, man, we're just having a good old time out here checking out all the new stuff. Sorry, didn't mean to touch
all
you,
right.
Madam, there.
She's take it.
Yeah, of course. One of your props here. Tell us a little bit about some of the stuff that you brought this year that's new.
Well, we have a lot. I mean, all, as usual, but we've added some more newer things, stuff that, you know, we're testing the marketing. That's what we're doing here. We have a lot of stuff from the 2012 line, but 2013, we got some Fear Flex clowns. We got some new super-duper zombies that are super premium right here, Signature Series.
Tell us what that FearFlex technology is and what it does.
I mean, you can do whatever you want. No longer, what we're trying to do is basically take the static out of static props. That you can turn around and, you know, just do whatever you want with the prop. No longer is your prop, zombie, clown, just able to stand in one position. We want you to be able to multi-position it, be able to put it in a bed, be able to sit in a chair, be able to make it stand, be able to carry it, twist it around your body. Do as you want with the product, and that's versatility. You know, I mean, you're creating your own, being your own creative master. You're taking, like, normally with a static prop and anybody's static prop, any competitor, you have to sit there and, you know, basically take what they give you.
Right.
With this technology, you could do whatever you want.
Is this like an animatronic type thing, or
no,
what?
Just a flexible foam.
Just, it's a flexible foam, so it actually bends and.
Yeah, well, that's
and all
actually
that cool.
Not, that's
oh, sorry. Didn't mean to break your arm there, man.
But she over there, we have the flexible foam.
Oh, okay. I see it over there, and it's bending. Yeah,
that's bending up.
Because, you know, you walk into a haunted house and you see something just kind of standing there, and it, I mean, you know it's a static prop, but it just doesn't look like it belongs there. It's either in an unnatural position or it's in a position that doesn't work with the haunt. Right. With this kind of stuff, you can actually mold it, bend it to actually, like, hold things or cradle something with it and all that.
You can make it sit and hold its own legs. You can put it on the ground. You can make it kneel. They can, I mean, this is, it's as versatile as it gets. I mean,
very, very cool.
Yeah, so we're going heavy. So with Test Mark, we were testing some few clown designs out, some new zombie designs for next year's Transworld. Taking that very serious next year's Transworld.
Being the trade show's only been open about 5 or 6 hours here, how has this all been received? I mean, are people looking at this going, wow, this is kind of cool? Or do they even know it's happening yet because you're not there bending it in all sorts of weird positions?
Yeah, well, no, we're telling them and they're blown away. And especially by the new pricing, because at Transworld, we mispriced our Fearflex. We were charging $649 as Transworld special, which is like no man's land for a body that size. Right. Everyone, no one wants to pay that. Now we got it down to $499 within a month after Transworld. So Fearflex is a lot cheaper now, and they're loving it, and we're doing a great job. And you see, they're dotted, and I told them I was not wanting to sell because these are samples for next year's product
right.
that was being fought. I have to have it. So that and my zombie, which the only reason why he sold because it's a buddy from New York. I allowed him to take it.
Ah, fine. You New Yorkers stick together.
Yeah, I said you could have. Well, he's like, make another one. But
so they're even wanting to buy the floor samples right out from here.
Oh, we're sold out almost.
Oh, Lord. Wonderful. Yeah. It's only
I'm exhausted.
6 hours in. 5 hours in.
5 hours in. We're practically sold out. I think we have about maybe 10 or 20 items left.
That's assuming you have a whole bunch left back up top, or are you going to have to go back home and start making a whole bunch of stuff?
No, we got orders, so we got to make a lot. Yeah, I was actually kind of hoping that now all of it would sell out because we're driving through Pennsylvania and we have a customer that has a large order, and I was like, man, we could just take care of this guy on the way home. It'd be great. But
as long as you don't get stopped by the cops and they ask to open your trunk and open your trailer.
Yeah, we've been around that. We've had some situations with that. Yeah, one of my guys actually got pulled over driving a zombie in his front seat. Not coming here.
Was he in the HOV lane or?
No, thank God. They would have threw a book at him for that. But yes, he has experience. But I want to say something to you.
Okay.
Real excited about your show.
Thanks a lot for doing it. Thank you very much.
I want to give a big shout out to all the Big Scary Show because it was kind of quiet. We need you.
Well, we plan to be here for quite a long time. We love it. All four ARCA hosts are here. Covering the floor, some are shilling their own products, working at booths and things, but we are here and enjoying it. We love it. We love guys like you who love us, so please keep telling your friends and your fans and your customers to listen to the show and enjoy the stuff and support our sponsors. And thank you very much for your very kind words. For people who want to check out the Fearflex stuff, maybe make orders because you're almost sold out here, check out all the cool stuff you've got. What's the best way to get a hold of people?
CreepyCollection.com.
That's just that simple. CreepyCollection.com. You ship everywhere. You're based out of New York, by God City.
Yep. And if you call me and I don't answer, it's because either A, I'm airbrushing, B, I'm splattering blood, or I'm in my latexing mode. So I
won't. Or it's 4 o'clock in the morning and you're hopefully asleep.
No, usually that's a good time because I'm sitting down, relaxing, having a cigarette, catching up on the NBA, and before I clock out at night.
So everybody call him at 4 a.m. because he will be answering the phone.
I'll be cleaned up and ready to answer, and my long day will be over.
Well, Jerry, thanks a lot for taking the time to come and speak to the Big Scary Show. We're glad you like us. We're glad you're a fan. Be sure to tell all your friends and fans, and everybody go out to creepycollection.com. and buy their stuff because it's pretty damn creepy. It's all I gotta say. Oh, I don't like that one. Anyway, here's Badger once again live at the Midwest Haunters Convention, getting creeped out at Creepy Collections booth, and I am out.
Greetings, Haunters. Are you ready to face your fears?
Greetings, Haunters. The Unknown Scare Actor here, or as my co-hosts like to say, the worst-kept secret in the haunt industry. Anyway, on this episode of Face Your Fears, we're going to talk about a couple of different fears that were faced. The first one was faced by none other than co-host Jerry Vane, the Haunt Rocker, as he faced his fears and became a haunted house actor for the very first time Friday night at Scaratorium. From what I hear, Jerry was very successful in not only facing his fears, but other making other people face their fears as he was some kind of cannibalistic hillbilly. There were other fears faced a little bit later on that Friday night during scaryoke, and emphasis on the scary because some of the singing was really good and some of the singing was really scary. So it made people either face their fears or get really drunk and not worry about it. I faced my fears during the classes on Sunday as I taught Everyone is Afraid of Something, which went surprisingly well. I want to thank everybody for attending my class. There was a lot of participation going on. Shout out goes out to Damian Reaper for joining me and teaching part of that class.
Always remember one thing, Haunters. Everyone is afraid of something.
Greetings, mortals, and anything else listening. Welcome to the Big Scary Show's Deadline News. We're going to lead off the Big Scary Show's Deadline News tonight with news on the Midwest Haunters Convention 2013. 2012's in the books, unfortunately, but 2013 is the 10th anniversary of the show, and there are already plans to make this one nothing short of epic. Now, because we don't want to give you any false information, we are bringing you breaking news as it happens. We go straight to the source. We've got on the phone one of the organizers of the Midwest Haunters Convention, Mr. Kelly Collins. How are you doing this evening?
Hey, Badger, I'm doing fantastic.
Fantastic. Love to hear it. I know you've got plans for 2013 in the works, so what can you tell us about your 10th anniversary coming up?
I'm going to try to keep this a secret, Badger, but you're twisting my arm pretty hard.
So yes, I am.
Let some of the information out. Everybody's been talking about our bus tour, and every year people say, our pre-convention bus tour, how can you make it any better? That's awesome. How can you make it better? So we've got something fun in the works now for 2013, and we are looking at Southwest Michigan, and primarily we are focusing in on two haunts that are rated as two of the best in the country, one of them being Niles Scream Park, that's in Niles, Michigan, and the second one is in Grand Rapids, and it's called The Haunt. So we've already started negotiations with both of them. We're in the process of working through the details, and there's going to be a couple of our featured stops on the bus tour for next year.
Are you looking? Now, go ahead.
Well, it's all right, we know that. So we got to hit some spectacular haunts on the way there and on the way back to Columbus, Ohio. So we're looking in Indianapolis. I can't tell you what the cities are because we haven't had a chance to talk to those haunt owners. But let's just say we'll stop on the way there and on the way back and try to hit some fantastic haunts and make this one of the best trips we've done yet.
Well, that sounds terrific, Kelly. Please let us know when you're ready to announce that information, and the Big Scary Show would be honored to break that news for everybody.
Well, I will do that. It takes me months to put these tours together. You contact the homeowners, you got to work out tour times, driving times, routes, and all that. It's a tremendous, it's like a logic puzzle putting it all together, but I'll get it done. The other piece of news that I'm going to share with you, and some people may have heard this if they were at the party, our masquerade party on Saturday night, but for the Miss Midwest Scary Pageant for next year, for 2013, we are inviting the 9 previous winners to come back and compete for the title of the 10-year Miss Midwest Scary Pageant winner. So our 9 previous winners are all going to be invited back to compete for that competition.
Well, that is a really great piece of breaking news there. All the 9 winners of the Miss Scary Miss Scary Midwest Horror Pageant there coming back for your 10th anniversary. You can't get any better than that, can you?
Well, I think it's going to be a great competition. And we're going to be looking for some really unique judges, some specialty judges to help us, because this is going to be tough, really tough, picking out a winner out of that group.
No doubt. Well, Mr. Kelly Collins, I want to thank you for bringing us that breaking news on the Midwest Haunters Convention 2013. I'm sure we will have plenty of times that we will be calling you or one of the other organizers to give us the news right here on the Big Scary Show. We have some sad news to report from the Netherworld Haunted House in Atlanta. Makeup artist Juliana Burgos has passed away from acute myeloid leukemia at the much too young age of 34. She worked at Netherworld during the 2011 Halloween season as a makeup artist. The Big Scary Show would like to offer her family, her stepchildren, and the staff of Netherworld our deepest condolences and a moment of silence. Rest in peace, Juliana. You will be missed. We have news on the Haunted Slumber Camp Massacre, or Massacre if you prefer. RIP Productions will present the Haunted Slumber Camp Massacre Friday and Saturday, July 13th and 14th, beginning at 5:30 p.m. in Rockford, Illinois. The event will feature interactive haunted house workshops such as Gorification, featuring gruesome gore, airbrushing techniques, and hands-on demonstrations. The Scare Zone, featuring character development and scare techniques. Chiller Theater, featuring Friday the 13th slasher movies. And Frights, Camera, Action, where you become the star in a slasher flick. The camp is open to haunted attraction actors, owners and operators, and anyone interested in attending, although you must be 16 years of age or older to participate. The cost is $35 per person and includes workshops, supplies, and transportation on the Camp Massacre bus, which is mandatory. The bus departs from the Walmart parking lot at 7219 Walton Street in Rockford, Illinois at 5:30 p.m. on July 13th. Visit www.trailofscreams.com/events.php for information and a registration form, or call 815-965-6772. Attendance is limited to the first 50 victims, and registration deadline is July 1st. We have news on the Waverly, Ohio Zombie Walk. According to an email we received from Alan Shell, who emailed us at news@bigscaryshow.com, quote, "We decided it's time to bring Waverly, Ohio into the 21st century, one zombie at a time. We're planning to drag our feet through the town of Waverly, Ohio on Saturday, October 13th at 3 p.m. To join our brood, all you have to do is show up and donate a minimum of 2 non-perishable food items. This will be a family-friendly event, so drag your tasty children along. If you have any questions or would like directions, please email us at WaverlyZombieWalk@yahoo.com or click the Zombie Walk link on our sponsor's website, www.backwoodsoddities.com, to get a direct link to our Facebook page where all the details and updates will be posted. Some news on the documentary, The American Scream. From the same director slash producer of the critically acclaimed hit documentary Best Worst Movie in 2009 comes The American Scream, an unconventional look at the Halloween cultural phenomenon of homemade haunted houses and the enthusiasts behind the scenes. Filmed in the sleepy enclave of Fairhaven, Massachusetts, The American Scream follows the creative minds behind three local homemade haunts and their spirited, passionate, and sometimes harrowing efforts in igniting their town's Halloween spirit each year. Slated for an October 2012 premiere on NBC Universal Horror Net Chiller, The American Scream is produced by Meyer Schwartzstein of Brainstorm Media and Michael and Lindsay Stevenson from Magic Stone Productions and directed by Michael Stevenson. Be sure to check your local listings for times and dates for The American Scream. We have some news from the Headless Horseman Hayrides and Haunted Houses. The Headless Horseman Haunted Attraction in Ulster Park, New York, has been named the world's best haunted hayride by AOL News, voted America's scariest haunted house in the Northeast by MTV, voted one of the best haunts in the country by HauntWorld.com, voted number one America's Best Top 13 by HauntedHouseRatings.com, and, according to a post on Facebook, they are looking for all alumni to return for the 2012 season. Quote, "Attention all past H5 employees. If you are interested in returning to work for the 2012 season, please email Darren Wells at dwells@williamslumber.com. This does not guarantee you will be asked to return. This is only to know if you are interested in returning. If you do not contact us, we will assume you are not interested. So if you have worked at the Headless Horseman and would like to return in 2012, please email Darren ASAP. We have a bit of news from the Haunted Appalachian Caverns. Construction teams are wanted to work on the Haunted Appalachian Caverns located in Bluntville, Tennessee for the upcoming 2012 season. Work begins on June 15th and will be every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Any help will be welcome. For more details, call 423-218-9497. That's the Haunted Appalachian Caverns in Bluntville, Tennessee. And finally, some news on the upcoming 2013 haunt calendar created by graphic artist and home haunter Hector Turner from Brampton, Ontario, Canada. Quote, "I'm very pleased to announce that the haunt calendar, now in its fifth year, will be expanding to include haunt photos from all of Canada, the United States, and international. It's amazing how the calendar has grown with every year, and this new direction is tremendously exciting in that I will be able to feature haunt photos from Halloween enthusiasts all over. The calendar is both a year-round showcase and source of inspiration for haunters everywhere. So with all that said, it's time to look over your photos and send in your best shots for the 2013 Haunted Halloween calendar. It doesn't matter whether you think your haunt measures up or not, we want to see them all. Yard haunts, garage / backyard walkthroughs, amateurs or professional haunts, even indoor displays, large or small, it doesn't matter. The only criteria is that the photo is Halloween related and features your own work. I'm looking forward to seeing your photos." Unquote. To submit your photos before the cutoff date of July 29th, or for more information, visit www.hectorturner.com/Halloween. Remember, folks, if you have news about the haunt, horror, or Halloween industry, please send it to us at news@bigscaryshow.com and we'll get it on the air. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News. Hello, everybody. Drew Badger has finally arrived in Columbus. I just walked into the hotel, and who do I see but
Victor Baritone.
And?
Brian Robolewski.
And you guys happened to be on a particular bus trip last year, and if I recall correctly, there were some shenanigans that went on. Have you recovered yet after that year of... after the bus trip? Yes? No?
There's no recovery, psychologically.
Of course not.
I've brought clean pants.
Oh, good. As opposed to others. But Brian and Victor, you guys are looking forward to another big bus trip here. Now, I understand... you came from Boston, and you came from Rhode Island. 20 hours on a bus. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. Hardcore rocker.
And yet you've got no voice. Woo!
And hardcore haunter Brian Robolewski. 20 hours.
20 hours, man. I just drove 8, although it took me about 10 because I stopped in Charleston and had lunch with R.J. Hattie, my personal close friend. Ha, ha, ha. I'll just name drop right here because I can. Anyway, I am here. We have finally arrived at the Midwest Haunters Convention. The bus tour starts tomorrow, and that's when the adventure really begins. Stay tuned for more, only on The Big Scary Show. Hello, everybody. Welcome again to the Midwest Haunters Convention, where we are doing something completely different. If you heard the last show or so, you know we didn't have a Roundtable of Terror. We hope you've missed it. So we brought back the Roundtable of Terror. But we are live. We have all four of our hosts in Columbus, Ohio, at the Midwest Haunters Convention. The trade show floor is closed. I've got Storm, Jerry, Jim, and myself, and we are joined by two icons in the haunt audio business. Everybody knows that haunted houses got to have good lighting, got to have good set design, got to have great actors, but you also got to have that good music to create that ambience, that mood-inducing feeling of dread and panic. Of course, two of the bigger boys in this thing, some not literally here, Ed Douglas from Midnight Syndicate, Virgil Franklin from HauntAudio.com. How are you guys doing tonight at Midwest?
Beautifully.
Excellent.
Can't complain any better than that. We've all been on the floor since about 8 o'clock this morning, so, you know, we hope the banter is going to be light and lively and everything. And, of course, Jerry Vane, the Haunt Rocker, joining as a sort of special correspondent, not just our regular host, but we do have Storm.
Hey.
We have Jim, or the unknown scare actor, I should say, worst kept secret in the business.
It is, and you know what? Jim or the unknown scare actor, they both work.
Okay, we'll go with
that. Well, you do realize that the mask he's wearing is SPSF Max, so it's not his real face.
It is the unknown scare actor prototype from SPFX here, available soon.
I'm sending them an invoice.
Hello, Rusty. Yeah.
But gentlemen, again, and I'm Drew Badger. Again,
who?
About you've been in this business at least 10 years, if not longer, 15 maybe. You guys have been in this business a long time. Or even 20 years. I don't even know when your very first albums
15,
were put out.
About 13 years.
How did you guys kind of come about from, you know, I'm assuming you both had musical backgrounds, and then all of a sudden it didn't just click into your head to say, I'm going to do haunt music. How did it kind of turn into doing this? We kind of know Jerry's story, but we'll let him reiterate it too. We'll start with Virgil. How did you kind of get into the haunt business, so to speak?
Well, there's a local haunted attraction that was built and started in August to build.
Is this in Linton, Indiana?
Linton, Indiana, birthplace of Phil Harris. And anyway, the long and short of it is it was a skating rink, and the owner would shut down the skating rink in August and build a haunted attraction. And I've done band arranging and stuff like that. I'm a band geek from years and years and years of being a director and stuff like that, and being a band member. Well, my son was there for a birthday party. Long and short of it, I know the owner, and he knew what I did, and he said, why don't you write some music for my haunt? I'm like, sure, I don't care. It was near spring break, so I said, yeah, I'll do it. So I went home, and that week I wrote, like, you know, 45 minutes of music, and brought him a disc, and he played it, and he just loved it. He said, you ought to try to market this stuff. I said, Bob, who in their right mind is going to buy this stuff? He said, no, let me point you some names. So he pointed out Leonard Pickle was one person, and a couple other people. And he said, just send this stuff to them and see what they say. And I remember day as clear as I can. I got a phone call one day and said, this is Leonard Pickle. You know how Leonard is, you know, on the phone. It's very official sounding. So this is Leonard Pickle. And I said, yeah. He said, I have this CD here by Virgil. And he said, are you him? Yes, sir, I am. He goes, I need to know you. Just like that, you know. And so we started talking about, and I'd never done any marketing, didn't know the first thing about marketing. So it turned out that first album that I wrote over spring break was out of the ether. And then I wrote a second album, just music for the others, and just went out for our first time in trade shows. And overwhelmingly, we got the home haunters were just aghast whether they loved it. And it just started from there, and we just kept going and never stopped.
And Ed, I know you've had partners over the years, some still with you and some not. How did you kind of start into this business?
Well, when I started out, I wanted to create music. I had the whole idea of soundtracks for imaginary films. That was the whole idea of what we were, you know, I wanted to create Midnight Syndicate to do. And I wanted to create these, you know, soundscapes that take instrumental music and blend it with sound effects, like from the radio dramas of yesteryear, and create these discs that would just kind of transport you to worlds of your own creation, you know, imaginary films of your own creation. So the first disc that I did kind of went over various, you know, it wasn't exclusively horror.
it wasn't exclusively instrumental music, but the strongest pieces from that disc were. And that's just because I love horror, and I love everything having to do with horror and the paranormal, and everything that I seem to have done creatively my entire life has that supernatural themes or whatever. So I figured I wanted to focus the second Midnight Syndicate disc on a strictly horror theme. And I realized when I was pulling this music together and pulling that first disc together that this was going to be really good for haunted houses, because at the time there just was nothing being played in these haunted houses except for like the Halloween theme or like bad sound effects tapes.
Monster
from
Mash, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, sometimes even that bad.
The sound effects CDs you find at like Pick and Save, Baylock, Kmart, and all that.
And I'll tell you, then I went to like some of the big theme parks, and I heard them playing some of the same music, and I'm like, wow. I mean, there's like a complete vacuum here for people that have taken Halloween music seriously. Nobody just had sat down and taken it seriously, I think. I mean, there's some pretty good, I found some gems, I guess, over the years from like the 50s or 60s, but I don't know, just nothing that was like modern. And so we released that first CD. Gavin and I wrote all the music on it, and we just knew that we had to get it to these people at the haunts and stuff like that. And when we played it for them, when we played it for the people that have haunted houses at their house or home haunts, they heard it and they're like, oh my God, this is what we've been looking for. And it was that light clicked. Okay, this is where Midnight Syndicate is going to reach their audience. And there's other people. There's people that like goth music. I mean, we didn't set out to be like exclusively haunt initially. It was just part of the many group of people that we thought were really going to be able to listen to our music and enjoy it and use it. So that's how we got into it. After we got that response, we just started rolling with it. And like Virgil, we started going and selling it at conventions, and then going to the big Trans World Trade Show and selling to stores. And just trying to that route.
Now you guys pretty much have like a classical theme throughout a lot of it. True classical, like 400 years ago type classical type of piano and things like that. And then you have people like Jerry Vane, the haunt rocker, who's kind of like the antithesis of all that. How did you kind of decide to go into metal music for haunted attractions?
It was just a fluke. Back in 2002, I did a instrumental version of the Haunted Mansion organ melody. And I did it strictly for myself, just something to do differently than what I've done in the past. And when I started in 2002, put it away for a little while, I wasn't happy with it. And in 2006, I picked it up and started doing it again. And a buddy of mine told me about this podcast to send it to, so I sent it off to him to check it out. And I get this email saying, hey, we're going to play it on the show. I'm like, okay, cool, that'd be cool. Not even 2 days later, I get a message through this social media thing called MySpace or something like that.
MySpace. And, not familiar, no.
And two people emailed me directly through MySpace, and one of it was Ed, and the other one was Chad Savage. And the exact words that both of them said verbatim was, is there more to hear? And I'm like, I wasn't planning on doing this. I just said, well, this is what I got, and I appreciate the feedback. Fast forward about 2 years later, this other podcast that I was dealing with and working for, I was doing little special edition stuff for certain shows and everything, and I got asked to do, I was pulled aside, I'm like, well, listen, what have you thought about doing an original song? I'm like, okay, I've never thought about it, but we'll give it a shot. I was sent the cover art, and I wrote and recorded the song in 4 hours and sent it off. And with one more track that they asked for, and when the CD came out, it all of a sudden my inbox, literally from the first convention it came out, my inbox flooded. And at the time, Yahoo Mail was, not as unlimited as it was then. It literally overloaded my inbox.
Nice.
So, and everybody's like, we need more music. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll give it a shot and see what happens. And I sat down and started working on the album, and after a few directional changes, came up with what is now Damnation's Embrace. And it just grew from there. And I, like the others have said, I didn't see this coming at all. Mm-hmm. At all. And I'm actually glad it did, because I was this far from packing my guitars and selling my gear off. I was ready to call it a day.
Was that just because metal music was just kind of fading as a genre and you were just getting older, just tired of dancing around in spandex and saran wrap?
It was a matter of just unhappy with the direction my music was going in. I wasn't happy. I just wasn't feeling creative. And, you know, there's a lot of musicians just get to a point where they're just ready to call it a day. And I was literally a week away from calling it a day. And when Damnations and Bright, not Damnations, I'm sorry, when Dark Pandemonium and Zombie Stomp broke out, I literally had the ad for Craigslist on my screen, ready to hit send.
Wow.
So, that's, you know, crazy. The haunt industry saved me from calling it a day.
Wow.
Wow. So, did not know that.
And what's interesting is really the impact that the three of you have had on the haunts themselves to really up the game. I mean, you could, before that, it was just getting by with the Monster Mash. I remember I worked at Spooky World in New England, you know, 10, 12 years ago, whatever. And I remember the first time I heard Midnight Syndicate, and I'm like, what is this? That's why we have lines going out to the parking lot, and we're here till midnight, is because this isn't anywhere else. And it's still true. Haunts which really want to upgrade it and go are finding places for your music and using, you know, probably next thing we talk about is how you guys get inspired for what you compose and directions you go, but this also works vice versa for haunts. I'm hearing the music and having scenes and ideas really shape into the scare.
Well, one thing, too, is that I have a yard haunt in, back when I was lived in San Diego and in Las Vegas, and I'll be honest with you, even though I do music for the haunt industry, I use Virgil and Ed's music in mine. Seriously. Because that's the feel that they have for it. I mean, you know, the first CD I got of Ed's was Vampire, however you pronounce it. And then I found Virgil's, and I was like, oh, my God, this is perfect. So
I think you can all appreciate each other's work a lot. Yeah, and when it comes to listening to it, what are you listening to for pleasure and stuff like that? Yeah,
exactly.
I'm like your guys' CDs and stuff like that. You know,
exactly.
Even in our band, like with my favorite tracks of ours are Gavin's and stuff like that. I just appreciate it. It's really nice hearing another voice, another interpretation of the style of music, so it's
Do you guys ever try to top each other? Is like, oh my God, listen to what Virgil just put out, I gotta up my game now, or you know,
I don't think for me at least personally, it's like to Gavin and Ed to me are pioneers. They've really cracked this whole thing open. There would be no room for Jerry or myself if these guys hadn't blasted through the walls and all the crap that was out there.
It's given a lot of people, you know, a lot of other musicians that we put on the show a chance to, you know, get that out. And because the influence that both you and Ed have on the industry, I mean, when I talk to other bands that submit their music for the show, that's the first thing they say is, you know, these two guys inspired me to do this. So that, and you know, that's very cool to hear, because there's a lot of, in at least in the music industry for what I used to do but prior to this, there's a lot of backstabbing.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of animosity towards other musicians. And the amount of respect, not only between the three of us, but the, you know, the amount of respect that a lot of the other musicians have that I've spoken to in the industry towards each other is, we're not trying to see who's going to better each other and who can, you know, be the next Midnight Syndicate or, God forbid, the next Jerry Vane or the next Virgil or whatever. But why the hell anybody want to do that? But, but you know, the respect and admiration is something that really, to me, is, it makes me want to put out something that the others will listen to and say, okay, dude, that is really good. You know, I always look forward to the next release from both you guys because it's, I'll be honest with you, I don't have that anticipation towards anything else music-wise. Mm-hmm. Seriously. You know, I mean, when you finally put out Carnival Arcane, I'm like, that's about damn time. Well, you know, now it's your turn, man.
Exactly. That's coming out next. So
when Storm mentioned the fact that you inspire the haunts to create their scenes, you also inspire the actors.
Mm-hmm.
And I can recall a couple of years ago where there was a contest going on with Midnight Syndicate. And Ed knows where I'm going with this now.
No, Lord.
I sent in a picture of myself when I was working at Kings Island Halloween Haunt. And a little story about what goes on. And I used one of his albums, The Rage, to just really really get myself into the mood. I would listen to it driving into the haunt, and by the time I got there, I was scaring everybody before I was even in costume and makeup.
That's amazing.
And it just drove me. The first time I ever found your music, it was Born of the Night.
Mm-hmm.
And I went hunting. I found that CD, and I went around to every Halloween store looking for every CD that was out at the time.
I got stuck in a room in like 2002 or 3 with Born of the Night playing in the room next to it over and over and over again. And to this day, that's still my favorite track of yours. You know, most people, when they get stuck in a room like that for 15 nights and it's playing 18 times an hour for 15 nights, oh, my God. But no, it's stuff that inspires you. And every time I hear those piano tones, I'm like, oh, I've got to play this at my funeral or something. This is just going to be... Because it works. I mean, and, you know, it's one of those songs that just doesn't get old and get sick, and they certainly don't sound dated.
No,
not that easy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's 400-year-old classical type style. Yeah, however dated that could be. You know, still.
Thank you, everybody.
We're not trying to stroke Ed's ego here.
No, Mr.
Humble here.
You can't see this, but his ears are turning red.
Oh, my God, they are.
Well, good, so we can embarrass Ed more. Okay. What do you draw inspiration from? All three of the artists here have such different directions that their music goes, and what do you draw inspiration from?
Horror films, and then you know, Tales from the Crypt comic books a little bit, and I think so. But no, I love. But when I listen to horror films, yeah, I mean, I love Hammer films, for example, because I'm getting inspiration. The music. I'm always listening to scores and stuff like that. Certainly. But I'm really losing myself in the world that they're creating in that movie. I'm watching the movie and then imagining that castle. And then no music. Just look at those sceneries. And then they enter that world and then see what music I create in that world with the castles and the vampire and the carriage.
So you're kind of thinking, oh, I could do better than what they're using now.
No, almost ignoring the music or taking it in, but trying to find the world that that author is creating, that world that they're writing about, and that Tales from the Crypt.
So, like, instead of the castle in the background, you're seeing, like, walking through it. And that's the soundtrack there for As You.
What's the other village? What's around the corner of that village? Okay, I'm going to write about that, or I'm going to use what I think I see around that corner to inspire a song or something like that. I think I just recently found out that the way I write most of this stuff is that I'll envision these worlds and stuff like that, and I'll actually compose the song in my head. And then I'll, like, speak it into a tape recorder, and then I'll sit down at the piano and kind of, like,
work it out. Do you actually write it out in tablature or just do it on a recorder?
Well, for me, I actually hum really poorly and into this, like, microphone, much like this one here. And I'm, like, going, okay, do-do-do-do-do-do, and then, like, a fifth note here, and then, I sit down at the keyboard and I listen back to it. I know kind of where I'm going, and that just helps me. Starting the keyboard, and that's how a lot of songs, you know, I write. No, that's because I don't come from a classical background like Gavin does, who probably he sits down at the keyboard and just writes. And I have a feeling you are also in that skill set. Yeah, that skill set that I do not have.
Okay, for me, it's like this. We every time I come up with an album, it's the concept comes first. Okay, the concept comes first, and believe it or not, the album art is next. So I don't write a note of anything until I've got album art in front of me. And normally you would just throw that art up there and just kind of look at it and let it. It's kind of like you said with the whole concept of looking at the movie and saying, okay, now what is the backstory to this? What's actually happening here? So for Clown, when I got the artwork for that and the conceptual artwork that followed with that, I looked at that long and hard and it's just like, okay, what does that guy sound like? And then you get these little stories that pop into your mind. You know, what did he do? How did he do this? What made him that? You know, and so you come into it's like there's a character for your concept, and then there's all the backstory that feeds into that character. And so, what was he like when he was 6 years old? You know, that kind of thing. You know, so you know, and then the songs kind of jump from there. I don't know that I necessarily come from a classical background in the sense of you know, approach it and say, okay, well, it's in C minor and it's B mixolydian going to the 2-5-6-5 and one back. But I mean, you do a little bit of that because the background isn't that. But a lot of the stuff I hear it in my head. Sometimes, as silly as it might sound, I wake up in the middle of the night with some idea.
It's not.
And I can remember, this is weird as all get out, but I can remember being asleep. Having this dream and seeing literally the score in front of my eyes on the music stand and listening to it played, and then waking up and going, oh, I gotta go write that down, and you know, going in and just penciling.
So I think we're writing for the next Midnight Syndicate CD now, mm-hmm. and I think my favorite track on the disc, and what is we our epic closing track on the disc, was at 2 o'clock in the morning. Waking up and having that melody in my head, yeah, and like running downstairs to my little tape recorder, going, "Don't forget this tomorrow." And blah 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 blah, 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 and then and writing. So that's so funny.
I love what Robert Moog said about it. He said, "I think it would be egotistical for me to say that I did any of this stuff. I think I just happened to be tuned into the right frequency at the right time in the right place, and it just kind of goes and gets dropped in you. You know, you know, you take the inspiration where you get it from a piece of art or in a you know." Bad piece of meatloaf or whatever.
That's a different kind of inspiration too.
And that you get that. So, to me, more than anything, it's just art. You know, it's the visual, and then letting my imagination just go crazy on that, and go from there.
With me, it depends on the project. In the case of the podcast that I did the tracks for, it was the cover art that inspired Dark Pandemonium. When I got asked to do the zombie song, I put Dawn of the Dead, the 2004 version, on, shut the volume off, and just sat there and watched it. And, you know, that movie's an hour and a half long. And I just sat there and watched. My wife is out of town, so it makes it easy for me to record and work with when I don't have any distractions. And I sat there and watched it, and 5 hours later, I emailed the song off. And that's where I got it from. In the case of Damnation's Embrace, the original storyline was actually supposed to be a continuation of The Lost Boys, and I didn't like the direction it was going. It was actually going to be called Santa Clara Lost Boys 2. That was the original idea for it. I didn't like the direction it was going with, and the breaking point of the CD was I was actually at the mall, and I heard when the little kid merry-go-round thing, you put your kid on 2 cents, and it rocks back and forth. And I stopped, and I sat there and looked at it, and I forgot what I went in. I went straight home, grabbed my guitar, and wrote Cirque du Diablo right then. Nice. And that's where, anyway, it was inspired off of that, and that became the metal merry-go-round. Once I established that song, the rest of the album just poured out. In the case of Soul Collector, it was Laura Dark's photography that got my attention. When I saw the picture, whether it's on the cover of the album, that just kicked everything into overdrive. And with Soul Collector, every song was a different inspiration. So one of the songs was inspired by a book that I picked up at Comic-Con that had to do with witchcraft, mm-hmm. in the Salem Witch Trials. Or it could have been Interview with a Vampire or whatever. Some of the songs were inspired by haunts that went through. Mm. You know, and in the case of The Attic, I'm a huge King Diamond fan. And Abigail is one of my favorite albums. And it was listening to Abigail, one of the first tracks that was actually written is actually the fourth song on the album. That was The Ghost of Mariana O'Deal. And that, once I got that song out, the rest of the album slowly spiraled, and I was writing it backwards and forwards. And like you guys have said, sometimes it just hits you. You know which piece is going to go where. And that's how the album came out. So it the inspiration can hit, like you guys, the inspiration hits at the strangest times. I have insomnia. So 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm sitting there watching the Food Network with a guitar in my hand. And I'm, watching Guy Fieri at Diners, Drives, and Dives. And I'm writing this thing in beam, in drop C, going, okay, I'd be scary enough. That would go great with that hamburger.
Right on. You know? That's a pretty scary.
How are we looking on time so far?
Oh, we've got roughly anywhere from 5 to an hour left. So we'll just let the conversation flow.
I have one question to ask Ed, actually. The very first Midnight Syndicate album has a wide plethora of different styles on it.
And vocals. I've heard tracks of it. Look them up on YouTube, folks. Interesting.
What was the turning point that, with all these other different styles, that suddenly, out of all that, popped out Dark Folk Shadows? Out of all these other songs, where was that turning point to go from here to here?
Well, I like, I just have to think back on how to word this, most succinctly, because I have a tendency to ramble when I talk about this, because it's I'm only now just trying to figure out exactly how the creative process works and the way that my mind works. But I mean, I knew that the concept for Midnight Syndicate was going to be what it was, and I always favored instrumental music, even on that disc. There are, you know, there's vocals on a couple tracks, but it's primarily instrumental, because instrumental music doesn't have lyrics leading you to feel a certain way. Mm. It's up to the listener to decide what's going on.
Can
so,
I ask a quick
and
question?
I don't sing. What?
How yes. do people who write instrumental music come up with their titles? I've never been able to figure that out.
Oh, it's how the music, what image that music strikes to you. Okay. Or a phrase that you're thinking, ooh, this has so many different meanings, or this is going to send people to think a different thing.
Sometimes the song directs the title.
Exactly.
I mean, okay. I know that with the Attic, I actually have a list of the titles, and I have and same with Damnation's Embrace, actually, that the titles that were originally had and the titles that I ended up with were nowhere near the same. Maybe two or three carried over, but other than that, they were completely different.
Because I've always thought, like old jazz musicians, why didn't they just name their album Song 1, Song 2, Song 3, Song 4, Song 5? Because, you know, I don't know how you get green, fuzzy meadows of ether or something. You know, and it's just a piano
by
and bass
piece. By the way, that's the title of my next album.
You heard it here first, only on a Big Scary Show.
We got an exclusive.
We'll hold you to that, too. If there's not a track called that, then...
Green, fuzzy, whatever.
Something.
I think I'll go in with him on that, is the fact that, you know, I think when you're writing a piece of music, and you're going back to the backstories of the characters and seeing that, you know, it's like, okay, it's a scene, okay, like on Clown, Organ Grinder, it was like, okay, what do I need? Well, what's predominant instrumentation in this, and what am I doing to the sound of this instrument? Well, I'm using a destructo, distorting it, I'm lo-fiing this organ while I'm grinding the sound of this organ up. And I was thinking organ grinder, ooh, that's kind of creepy. And it has that lilting kind of feel that goes like an old-fashioned crank organ grinder. It's sans monkey, of course. But the thing is that you kind of, I think at least, let the vision of the whole concept of the album dictate it, where it's at in the story, and you also let the song itself dictate the title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are times where there are times where it could be just the slightest thing that could turn the title into something completely different, whether it be the storyline, if it's a concept album. You could sit there and say, okay, well, this track is this name, and something in the storyline of that continuation will just turn around, and you find yourself going, okay, well, that title would actually work for that one. And that one could probably go there. Mm-hmm. You're changing the titles around, and you forget which one was which.
We always use the working title. Spooky 2, Idea 4, and then that's what until the very end, we start switching to the actual titles. Right. Because, we switch around just like that. Like, mm-hmm.
One of the nice things about titling your instrumental music is the fact that once the end product is out and we're listening to it, that title starts painting an image in a listener's mind as they're listening to the song. Numerous times, I mean, you can just almost see the title as you're listening to all three of your music.
Mm-hmm. It's an important stage in this. Naming those instrumental songs is a critical part of what the whole process. For just that reason.
Exactly. The other thing is that, you know, you're talking about using literature as an inspiration for the Night Sins is based upon the collective works of the Guardian series of Ruby Moon Holtzen, who's a dear friend of mine, just lives like 2 minutes up the road from me, and she's an incredible authoress. But, you know, it's each one of those, it's like Jaden's theme was based on, I learned about that character as I read the book, I understood her, I felt her, and then I started hearing this melody that went along with her. So those were collectively specific to the character. You know, whereas, as with Jerry was talking about, you know, it's like, and Ed as well, it's like, okay, this one kind of works for that one, and that's I don't think there are any hard and fast rules when it comes to composing and how you do things.
A quick question. Good or bad, has there been something that you guys have seen or heard a haunt do with your music which you found surprising? And Virgil's laughing, I was going to him first.
Okay. Oh, perfect. Nice. Okay, well, early on in the whole haunt and horror thing, it was like I just started, when I started doing the haunt music, genre and understanding that there was a haunt industry, I started going around to different haunted attractions. I was really amazed at how some people would interpret something that I put in there. And see, I think that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good thing, because the fact that Ed was talking about, elimination of lyrics, because those tend to lead people. And again, I'm not so sure elimination of titles might not necessarily be a good thing altogether, if maybe, the next Virgil album will be the Black Album, and there it is, and there's just track numbers. And
wait a minute, I own Atmospheres. Already did that.
Exactly. Sure, Atmospheres is technically the Virgil Black Album series. But the point is that at the end of the day, it's like, the way they interpreted things like that. And I can remember getting a text message / email. I can't remember. It's kind of convoluted in my brain right now. But I remember some couple emailing me one time and said, "You know what? On our wedding night, we played Out of the Ether," and I thought, there are just some things I don't need to know about how my music is being used. So that was when I chuckled. It was the worst
could have been Clown or Hillbilly Hell.
Jerry, what about you? Have you seen somebody using your music, just something surprising, good or bad?
Well, I'm trying to think here. I was talking to a haunt earlier today, actually, at the booth, and they were telling me that they actually were using Cirque du Diablo not as a clown theme, but as a Chapel of Horror, which surprised me, because I wrote the song as a clown song. And I'm like, and when they broke down the details, and you have to forgive me if I'm having trouble trying to remember this, it made sense, because, they always say when you go to hell, the tortures will be different per person. And in the case of the haunt that they were in, you're in hell, but you're doomed to be a clown. So you're being, and I'm like, well, that kind of makes sense if you think about it. Because they said you had enough clown atmosphere in there, but with the heavy guitars and the breakdown and everything, it gave that evilness that worked with the room. I'm like, well, I never would have thought about it that way.
And that's the great part about art. You've reached a point with, and sometimes, I don't know, do you ever feel like a machine? You're just churning out music sometimes.
Three albums in 3 years, yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. 19 and 10, I'm with you. So the point is that, at the end of the day, it's like, okay, it's got this body of work, and it's just open to interpretation. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's the highest compliment anybody could ever pay you, is the fact that there's some depth to what you've done, no matter how you personally feel about this child you've created. And some of them are ornery little critters. Mm-hmm. That we write these pieces of music, and we kind of just like create these things and then set them free, and they just kind of toddle across the floor, and you're like, oh God, did I make that? and at the end of the day, for people to interpret it a specific way that is so counter to what you ever intended for that piece of music to even represent is the highest compliment they can pay to you, because that is when you've reached art, because you've got people that interpret your music in a way, because it's rich enough and it's full enough, and that they can actually draw inspiration from it and create something in their mind's eye that you never intended for it to be in the first place.
And when Ed contacted me to do the track for the Dead Matter soundtrack, I was like, okay, well, how can I do this to honor the original version, which is actually a very sparse track if you think about it. Mm-hmm. With between the clicking, the click track, and the piano and some strings,
but genius nonetheless.
Oh, it's a great. That was the first song I ever heard, and that was actually on the first Minnesota Second album. He's getting red-eared again.
Yeah, we're going to have to superimpose a blush meter.
I mean, he's sitting here with his hand going, "Guy, stop it." He's going, "Please more, please more."
Right now, Ed is bright scarlet, switching back down to a salmon scarlet.
He's like, no.
Ed, what about you? What have you seen which has surprised you? Music,
Pleasant surprises, exclusively. Really, I've just been really happy when people say that they get married and they're playing our music as their wedding march. What a great honor is that!
Wow!
We've had quite a few of those over the years that share that with us.
That's mine are for divorces.
Mine was for the wedding night.
Alimony Chapel. Yeah. Alimony Chapel. Whatever.
Coming soon, the Midnight Syndicate Virgil Franklin Wedding Chapel. In Vegas, right next door to Jerry Maintown.
Next to the Kiss Mini Golf.
Now, you were talking about the Dead Matter a little while ago. You did the soundtrack to the Dead Matter. And, Virgil, you did recently Piranaconda on Sci-Fi.
Cut that out.
Okay, we'll edit this later, of course. Yeah. Wink, wink. How does one get approached to do a soundtrack? I know you kind of did the music for Dead Matter yourself, and the movie and everything just kind of came along naturally. You were kind of approached by Sci-Fi. What, am I wrong on that?
There's a specific producer that was attached to a couple projects, and I've done a lot of stuff before with a lot of independent film companies. I don't think, and we talked about this early on, over at the booth, we're talking about where this whole movie music thing is going, and for a lot of us who have stumbled upon and from Haunt and gone into movie, and I know you have a movie background and I don't, it's for us, there's a lot of little films, and it's like the 6 degrees of separation. You know, you do a movie for, you know, do a movie soundtrack. For me, it was Dyer's Eve was like the very first movie soundtrack I was approached doing, and then to do that, and then that got a little recognition, and then it just leads to another, and then you eventually get to people that are connected with one or two or three of those things, and then it goes from there. For me, the sci-fi stuff currently is, I mean, that is honestly, that is one of the most volatile industries to be involved in. The closer you clamor to the whatever the top is, and I'm not sure the top is actually the top, to be honest with you, I think it's more of the belly of the beast, if you ask me. But the closer you get into doing stuff like that, the more you realize, you know, okay, there are some people here that, you know, you work with that are really good, and they'll pull you into good stuff, and then there are people that are bad, and they'll pull you in some bad stuff. Anyway, the long and short of it, I'm trying to make this as quick as I can. I think within movie films and things like that, most of what I'm looking for is people that I've known, that I've respected, that I've worked with before, and if they're affiliated with a project, and they normally drag me in. I've recently been asked to do the Jim O'Rear film Hospital, and I'm just all jacked about doing the soundtrack for the Hospital. And the fact, you know, Jim is just like, to me, he's iconic, you know. And I, when he asked me to do it, it's like, oh, my God, I just got to do the soundtrack for that.
And how did the – no, I'm sorry about
– no, go for it.
How did the Dead Matter kind of come to be?
Bob Kurtzman asked me to score his film The Rage, which is the first one that he shot in Mansfield.
Amazing soundtrack.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Bright Scarlet.
Bright Scarlet.
I appreciate that. You know,
that's why you only do phone interviews, so they can't see your action.
Right. Okay. They, but you know, I went to see him shooting that movie. Just and I loved what he was doing on set and the way he ran his show with Gary Jones. And so, I asked him if he wanted to do the Dead Matter movie. That is a movie that I wanted to produce. It's a remake of an old movie that I film and score, which gets back to when you're asking about how I moved from that first CD on. Everything I had done before that CD, like outside of rock, was like scoring student films and scoring the original Dead Matter. Mm-hmm. So I had a whole sea of dark orchestral instrumental music that was either themes that I used in the Dead Matter or stuff I didn't use. So that's what built Born of the Night. All my songs for Born of the Night were sketched out before I even approached Gavin or anything else. And
amazing.
So, and it's all from this work that I did scoring films and stuff, you know, heading into that. But I guess the point, Dead Matter just came about from that. I approached him with the script. He liked it, and that's why I made the Dead Matter movie. So I had the opportunity to direct it and have producers like Bob Kurtzman and Gary Jones help make it a reality. And I got, of course, the opportunity to score it afterwards. And I'm happy to say now I'm working on the score to a movie called Bunyan, which is directed by Gary Jones. And it really is just like, you know, it's working with people in this film industry. It's such a team effort. So it's really who you know, and it's who you have a nice working relationship with and just kind of working.
Okay, I got to know. Something Bunyan. Is that going in the direction of Paul Bunyan or a foot ailment?
Yeah, and most people have come up when I said it today at this show and said, is that foot ailment? I'm thinking, that's dark, and I like it. Yeah. But no, this is about Paul Bunyan.
All right.
A Paul Bunyan with an axe and an axe to grind. An axe to grind in the forest deep.
I got lucky.
The rabbit blue ox.
Yes. Yeah, it's a very fun movie.
A couple of independent films contacted me to use a couple songs for their films, Feast from Scaredy Cat Productions out in Las Vegas, and The Backroom used two tracks. And I mean, they basically found me on iTunes and said, I really like these songs, we'd like to use them for the movie. And I wasn't expecting any type of anything to happen with it. I'm just happy to be able to get a little toe in the door, at least my pinky toe.
Well, maybe we can get Sci-Fi to contact you for Piranaconda 2 or 3 or something.
I think the most surprising one that I got contacted for was recently an Italian porn star wanted to use Bewitching Hour for a trailer.
This is why I was giggling. I'm like, it's a family show. Let me not just say what the... Oh, yeah. Awesome.
It's a well-done trailer, though, by the way.
It was very well, very tasteful, though, right? Actually, a lot of
the
it was
lighting was
out.
Good. The cinematography just
But at the same token,
rate.
Some of my songs have been used for trailers for comic books.
Yeah.
So go figure.
And for haunts, which is disturbing because they use the same song for that one production from the Italian director. For as a video I've done for my haunt, I'm like, oh, God, I can't. The actors must never know.
What gets me with this, Jerry, is, you know, I get approached by Fox to have stuff, you know, and you get porn. You know, where is it?
Where's the justice?
He's right.
You didn't have that sunburn yesterday.
Yeah,
no. You didn't have the building today.
Prison. You didn't get sunburned.
The reaction from the makeup they slapped on me.
Oh, sure. The Scarlet O-meter is bright magenta.
Yeah,
right, it is.
That is magenta.
Rock I'm a star redhead. Magenta. Right.
So what's on the future for the musicians here? I mean, I know Jerry, you're working on at least 3 or 4 different CDs right now. And
don't ask me
the
why
David Chastain of haunt rock.
Oh, there it is. Two more inspired by this weekend alone.
I'm sure.
My digital recorder is full.
We still need to talk about that Mexican mariachi metal band. To capitalize on the growing Hispanic market in the country.
You can see they've talked.
Dia de los Muertos. We even got the marketing.
I got a phone call on Wednesday. I'm at
people
work. Is this marketable?
Yes.
Everything is fair game.
Hell yeah. I'm actually going to do a St. Patrick's Day Halloween album. There you go.
There you go. Nice. Leprechaun.
Music to drink and wear green.
I've been to a St. Patrick's Day Friday the 13th Halloween party, so yeah.
That's possible. I'm glad. The one thing I've always had like in the back of my head, and we've talked about just a little bit, was just like, God, if I could just harangue some other people, wink, wink, dodge, dodge, to do an album together and just start bouncing tracks over Dropbox and here's my Pro Tools files, check this out, see what you can add to this, you know, and just that, there's a little hint of that. I would love to see that happen one of these days.
I know when I did the track for the Dead Man, I drove you guys nuts.
Exactly.
Oh God, is that vain
Jesus,
guy.
Jesus, another MP3, you just sent me one yesterday, the day before.
But that's the kind of insanity that we need that brings about all this cool creativity. But for me, it's like, I'm looking forward. The next project I've got in mind is just I'm really aiming for stuff. I see a lot of trends in soundtrack work that I've been led into and done and then kicked off of ceremoniously. And then, but still, I've got, with you, it's like you were talking about doing all these student films. You end up with this body of work, and you're like, what do I do with this? And I started playing back some of the stuff that I did that were cues. I'd get a company and say, okay, we're going to do this one. And it's like I'd write a cue for it, and they're like, no, that wasn't really. And they do 15 cues down the road, and you're like, you look at this, you go, those all sound like they're an album, you know, and there's some stuff there that was sketches and things, and I'm like, okay. And then I start looking at where the industry's going and their soundtrack work and how they're hammering things out, and I'm like, okay, it's time to release another one because I think I've got my finger in something that I need to put out. So that's coming. Nice. I think this next one's going to take a decidedly very, very ridiculously heavy tense. It's not even close to that either. You know, that was more techno.
Nice. Very cool.
So aiming that direction and using a lot of the stuff that I've had dealt with in the past as a springboard for that. But I want to say this, but I'm going to put you guys on the spot. I would love to get together with you guys and just do something.
You and I did briefly.
We did for the plot. The plot is actually, yeah, there's a song on there that features solo by Jerry Vane. You know?
I know I sent you the track. You made back and you said, dude, that was ridiculous.
Exactly.
He goes, thanks for upping the ante now. Appreciate it, putz.
Exactly. I remember because I burned my solo and I was like dying. You know, I'm like, you know, it's cascading, you know, whole tone scales up and down the neck. And then he comes in there and just like lays me wide open.
He probably did it one take too, sitting in front of his computer playing with his bunny rabbit.
My words to you was, you filleted me like a fish. Because he was, I mean, I cut mine. It was a guitar album that my son and I put together as a kind of like a father son kind of thing, and it's only available on bandcamp.com. That's bandcamp.com. Look up the plot. It's just a little EP thing, but anyway, there it is. So I'm staying out of metal because this cat just kicks my butt every time.
Oh, jeez.
Well, you are playing strats, and we all know those aren't metal anymore.
Yeah, so. Tellies. Yeah. Anyway,
there you go.
And Ed, what's on the horizon for you?
Well, right now, we're really well along on the next Midnight Syndicate disc. Really, really far along, and it's heavily influenced by like 60s and 50s and 30s and 40s horror. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be very classic horror, very Hammer influenced disc. And but with the sound again, as I think as we work, you work in soundtracks, you do more. I think you develop your sound, and this new on our new disc it's going to be a pretty intense sound that I don't think you can really mistake for any of our other discs. So that's kind of exciting. But right now I'm working on the Paul Bunyan movie, to clarify. And that score is going to take me through to the end of July. So once that gets done, that movie's going to come out at least to premiere this year for sure, around October, and then. Hopefully we get that Midnight Syndicate movie out soon.
And then you really need to do a movie about Midnight Foot Syndicate Bunions.
You know what? Bunion. Just think about it.
I think of
something, and it's just like Bunion across. I mean, that's pretty dark and creepy and disgusting as heck. And I think I can go.
I can see a haunted house put around that already.
A visit to the podiatrist.
Scary enough.
Great. First the dentist, now podiatrist.
Is it like an entity inside the foot, or is it just like pus filled that's going to like spew out and like infect the whole air and drown people? What is it? That's what I'm thinking about right now.
Well, we're definitely going to have to discuss that over drinks at the ball tonight. And I'm sure about 3 a.m. we're going to have the entire soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. And yes.
17 Jaeger bombs.
Let's just shift that off to Trauma Films. They'll take that right now. Sight unseen.
I was surprised they haven't already.
Well, gentlemen, we are way over time. But that's okay. Yeah. This has been a great, great, great roundtable here. I want to thank Jerry Vane for somewhat moderating, with his voice being pretty much 99% gone, and hopefully he'll have enough voice tomorrow to shill all the cool stuff he's selling. Virgil Franklin, Ed Douglas, thank you so much for being a part of this. This is our very first live roundtable of terror, and we are glad that we decided to use you guys to make it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Last chance, plug websites, anything you like.
HauntAudio.com for your haunt needs.
The Haunters iTunes.
The Haunters iTunes. Yes.
MidnightSyndicate.com.
And JerryVane.com.
Well, once again, Storm.
Hey.
Unknown scare actor.
Or Jim.
I'm still not sure. And Jerry, my name is Drew Badger. Thank you guys once again. We're hopefully going to do a couple more of these live ones before the end of the Midwest Haunters Convention. My name is Drew Badger. This is the Big Scary Show. Thank you once again, Ed, Virgil, Jerry. It's been a distinct pleasure. We're all going to go to the costume ball right now and go work out this Bunyan soundtrack, because this is something. And then we're going to talk Mexican mariachi metal. Once again, live on the Big Scary Show, this is the Round Table of Terror, and we are out.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger once again live for the Big Scary Show. We are finally back from the pre-show haunt tour. 2 days of absolute debauchery. Great haunts, Erebus, Feather in the Cap. Love that. Finally crossed it off my bucket list. Dark Side Acres was great. Realm of Darkness, Dimensions of Darkness. Lots of really good haunts, even though we didn't get to see one because of technical issues.
But we did end up in Hell, Michigan.
And we did end up in Hell, Michigan, eating ice cream, which was with Cool. And who should we find sitting at the door or at the bar with his tail wagging, just like waiting for his master to come home? It is Storm. Hey, Storm.
Hey, greetings, everybody.
So now three of the four hosts are finally in Columbus. We're waiting for the last one to creep his way in here. So, Storm, how was your trip over?
Very good. Got some updates through the airports and stuff, and the irony of sitting in the airport in Providence and listening to Journey over the airport speakers.
Ouch.
Yeah.
As if flying wasn't bad enough.
I think it's just too cliche to be playing Journey at 6 in the morning in an airport.
There's got to be a haunt minute in there somewhere.
There probably is. There was a couple Facebook status. But no, other than that, the good thing is, first of all, I don't look like the rest of you guys. I look like a Miami zombie coming off the bus after
Miami
the past
zombie.
2 days.
Nice.
And
it's been a long trip.
It has. And I've been, instead of doing the bus food and the taco buffet at the bowling alley this year, I was able to get in Columbus and hit a couple of the good restaurants. Went to Happy Greek. Lemongrass, which is an Asian fusion bistro down the street.
Nice.
Love that.
We did get to go to BD's on Tuesday night when Jerry and I both rolled into town, the Mongolian place down the street. Always recommend it. Hadn't been there in years. Great food, good company. Even though Jerry wouldn't sit with us, he had to sit with other people. But that's okay.
Special people. VIPs.
Special people.
Yes. So, what, I mean, I don't even know. What is our itinerary for the first unofficial day of MHC, the Friday?
I'm putting up a booth.
I'm going on the paranormal bus tour with said Storm's significant other, which you are screwed either way.
Oh, absolutely. No, you're going to get all the dirt, embarrassing stories. And
I hear she loves to talk to a microphone.
The thing is, I'm being told you we're going to get embarrassing stories we haven't heard. I think we've heard everything.
Yeah, good luck on that one.
I haven't heard all of them yet, but I'm sure we will.
Wisdom Teeth is a great one. I mean, that is like a haunt day. Apparently I became evil. And
was the birth of Evil Storm?
It was probably beyond Evil Storm. And apparently Evil Storm has a fascination with the Antiques Roadshow.
Oh, gosh.
Lovely. Lovely, lovely. And then you're putting up a booth, and you're going on the haunt tour with Miss Stormy's better half.
Yeah, and I'll be setting my booth on Saturday morning.
I'll be looking for ghosts. Dust!
Yeah. Dust particles. Dust! Somebody talking in the background.
Ooh, no, it's an orb, really.
Spooky move.
Here, listen to some more Art Bell.
Eat your toes.
You ever wonder why the ghosts don't say things like, kids, do your homework, don't do drugs? They always say things like...
They don't come up and say,
eat your vegetables.
No, you got to be asking them to just say, Big Scary Show on the recorder.
There we go. I will pay $10,000 in...
What's my name? Who am I?
Big Scary Show.
I will pay $10,000 in Jamaican currency to the first ghost that comes up...
Which means $20,000.
No, it means like 4 cents American. But the first one that comes up and says, Big Scary Show on... tape. Anyway, hey, it's Tater, who just got off the bus and also Tater. Looks like a zombie. Tater, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, you're great. That's all. So, on the bus today, we're just getting ready to tell Storm we invented a brand new sport called indoor bus body surfing. Can you describe any of that?
Boy, do you have a body for it, too.
Yeah, I know.
I'm telling you.
With or without the bus moving?
Oh, the bus was going about 80 at the time.
So this was advanced. This was pro.
This was indoor bus surfing.
This wasn't JV level.
Any jackass can do body surfing without...
Hi, this is Tater, and welcome to Jackass. I'm indoor bus surfing.
Right? Anybody can do the bus not moving body surfing.
Okay. Oh, of course. That's kiddie stuff.
That's easy.
But 80 miles an hour indoor bus surfing, that takes... I would say it takes testicular fortitude, but, well, there was enough of that going on, too.
Depends on where people are holding it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It depends. I mean, it's very...
You can go into that at a base like Badger and me and come out...
How would you... Soprano? We give you the name.
Okay.
Indoor bus surfing.
Okay.
How's it playing out in your head right now?
I watched Bus Number 3. We stuffed somebody in the overhead compartment last year.
Bus Number 3 is bullshit. First
yeah,
of all,
yeah, yeah, Bus Number 2 is the place to be this year.
No,
it's going down, and I'm going to take it out with a rocket.
Well, Bus Number 3 has the old
Bus Number 2 now.
Yes. But anyway, really quick.
I'm just picturing you pick somebody up and you send them either, probably to a backup bus.
Yeah, we sent them to the back of the bus, all right.
In this case, it was Jason D'Ashley without a shirt, and by the time we got to the end of the bus, he was pantless.
Well, most of the time, half the people on the bus were pantless, too. But we won't get into that.
We were just joined by Mr. Jack.
Mr. Jack Pritz himself, Mike Pogo Hatch. Mike, how you doing from Jack Pritz?
Fantastic.
Just got off the bus. How was your impressions of all the tours and stuff?
Excellent. They're all very good.
Excellent. Very cool. So anyway, getting back, we'll see you guys in a few minutes.
What's up?
One last thing here before we cut this short and go back to some serious socializing,
research,
shall we say. So you're playing, you're on the paranormal tour tomorrow. You are setting up a booth. I am taking Nick Herrera's airbrushing class. That's at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So the morning, maybe I'll give you a hand with your booth. We'll start scouting out everything, and we are getting ready to set up and plan and make sure that our coverage of Midwest Haunters Convention is the best damn coverage you have ever heard in the history of all haunt podcasts. Am I in agreement?
If you are fortunate enough to make it to the Midwest Haunters Convention, by this time you have already been by, and maybe you might have picked it out. You might find the Haunt Rocker in character, in costume, at the Scaratorium. Did you find me?
With red nose and big floppy shoes. Only clue that you will get the entire weekend. Big floppy shoes, big red nose.
Which means a lot of alcohol.
Yeah, well, you got those gin blossoms on there anyway.
Week.
So anyway, Stormy Claws here, the Haunt Rocker Jerry Vane, Badger here at the Midwest Haunters Convention.
Big bar on 2.
And we're waiting for the arrival of USA, unknown scare actor again.
He'll
be here at some point.
We're waiting for the waitress.
Yeah, we're waiting for the waitress too. So anyway, we're going to get back to some serious socializing. Stay tuned. It is Thursday night. Midwest hasn't even started yet.
And we are...
out.
Out.
CreepyCollection.com, the most disturbing, realistic, handmade props and animatronics for the horror industry. Now featuring FearFlex technology. Voted best zombie props of 2011 and 2012. CreepyCollection.com, for all your gore and more.
Virgil Franklin. Last days. On the Big Scary Show.
from the darkest reaches of the earth. This is The Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
All right. A big item in the news this week was the image from Season 1 Game of Thrones, where they had a severed head, and it happened to be modeled after former President Bush. Absolutely falls in the realm of, you know, poor taste, and, you know, the producers and set directors were saying, oh, we didn't know, it came from a box of heads. Yeah, right. No, they saw that and go, ooh, this will be funny, no one will notice. Somebody always noticed. Now, with haunts, we're always faced with this, too. Come on, we've all done it. We've had something that we've added in, some little thing we've put into a scene, usually maybe something written on a gravestone or something. A lot of times it's a homage to something in the horror industry or something, but every once in a while it's a little jab or twist at, you know, something local and going with it. You know, in the same concept with the Game of Thrones right now, HBO has pulled that image from the episode. It's not going to be on any of the future DVD items or anything. Thank you, HBO. I now have a collector's Blu-ray. Yay. But you gotta say to yourself, is something like that you do, going to be in a way that people are going to interpret it, that it takes away from the enjoyment of the show? You always want to watch out and make sure everyone enjoys your show. So when you're thinking about what you're going to do and add that little prop or that little thing and see, oh, that'll be funny, just think, you know, the people we're paying are coming to enjoy what you're producing this October. Is that going to take away from it? So until next time, keep every minute scary.
Get your Stormy Rant Fix in 140 characters on Twitter at Big Scary Storm.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger and the Haunt Rocker Jerry Vane out here at the Midwest Haunters Convention pre-con bus tour. Jerry, your thoughts of Dark Side Acres? We just walked out of it. Excellent. I'm glad to see you are so impressed. Well, here's a couple of random people. What did you think of Dark Side Acres?
I thought parts of it were pretty good. I think the pirate part was better than the first part. They had a lot of nudity. Well, I guess not nudity, but... as they call it,
let's say explicit stuff.
Were they granny approved whores?
All I'm saying is that haunt needs more Virgil Franklin. Jerry Vane.
A ringing endorsement of Virgil Franklin here at Dark Side Acres. Once again, Drew Badger, the haunt rocker, Jerry Vane, gassy as always. And I am out.
Midnight Syndicate, Midnight with Syndicate. Jerry Vane. With Jerry Vane. Shadows, the Haunt Rocker Remix, on the Big Scary Show. Big Scary Show.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here on the pre-con bus tour for Midwest Haunters Convention. We are in Flint, Michigan. I think it's still Flint. I don't know. It's somewhere up in Michigan. We're touring the haunts. Just got through St. Lucifer's, a pretty cool center for the criminally insane. You might even call it an asylum. But while we walked in the door here of St. Lucifer's, I see a couple of guys here with some T-shirts and some posters and things. They're advertising something called the Flint Horror Con. I'm assuming this is in Flint, Michigan, and I'm assuming it's a horror con. So I thought I'd sit down and talk to him, and I'm speaking to Chris. Chris, how you doing?
Awesome. How are you?
Excellent. You know, a couple of the buses have come through, a couple more buses coming through. Anybody stopping at the table trying to get information on what this is all about?
Absolutely. It's, everybody's been really great. It's, you guys are it's a great tour.
So tell us what the Flint Horror Con is.
The whole point is to kind of do a low-dose show in this area. Michigan is known for its deep affection for Halloween.
I've heard there's like over 60 haunted houses within like a couple of hours of here.
Yes, it's tons of them. And so there's a big groundswell of, you know, love for horror and Halloween, and we thought it'd be a great place to start a one-day horror convention. So we're trying to keep the price low and the fun high.
So is this a typical type of convention where you invite vendors to come in and show their products? You bring a couple of guest stars, maybe somebody, a movie star here and there, to just sign autographs and meet people? Or is there something different to it?
We do all of that, and we have a movie room where we try to show indie kind of off-kilter horror films. So we kind of have, this year we'll have three floors of vending guests and movies. So we're trying to make our own footprint, but we're in our second year, so we're still trying to make sure we get the basics right.
How was first year?
Fantastic. This has been a dream to do this for us, and it's better than expected reaction from everyone.
Without getting into too many specifics, how far away did you pull people in to come to Flint to this? Was it all Flint, or was it? Did you get Detroit? Did you get Ohio? Did you get anywhere else?
We definitely got people from Flint, Saginaw, Midland, Lansing, Ann Arbor, Detroit. So basically our region. Because it's a one-day show, I think it's harder to pull people in from further out. But as we grow, we're hoping to kind of reach further out. And we do smaller events through the year. So, you know, bit by bit, we'll get more and more people out.
Are you looking at expanding this to a full weekend or even larger than that? Or are you going to pretty much try to stick it as a one-day?
We want to grow the scene first. It's, you know, this there hasn't been anything like this in this area. So we want to kind of build the base for it. But we'd love to have more than one day.
Very surprising, given so many haunted houses in the area, that there's not more horror cons in the area.
Oh, yeah. It's just, it's Michigan has had such a dicey economy.
Well, yeah. You know,
even the bigger conventions pulled out and didn't want to come here. So we're just what we're trying to build a base. There's the fans for it. You just have to make sure that they, you know, want to be there.
And this is something that the fans will spend money to come see, you know. Come get a chance to check out the latest indie stuff. Maybe meet a movie star or something like that. Do you have any confirmed guests for this year's con?
So far we have Kevin Van Hentenrick from the Basket Case movies, and we have Ari Lehman from
Ari's a good guy,
yep,
like
Friday the 13th, and he'll be playing our after party.
With First Jason?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I hope you like the keytar.
Oh,
he's the master of the keytar.
He is. But yeah, we're working on getting some more people confirmed, but you know, we're building it bit by bit, but we're chugging along.
Very, very cool. So for any of those in the northern Ohio, southeastern, or southern Michigan, or anywhere, Windsor, you know, wherever, within a few hours of Flint, Michigan, how can people get information? Is there a website? Can people buy tickets yet? What are the dates? I know it's in October, so you got a little bit of time to plan. Are advance tickets coming on sale, or how is that going to work?
We haven't put them up yet, but we will. Our tickets are $10, so we don't really sell a whole lot online just because we're such a low-dose show, but we'll have them up. We'll probably get the online tickets up in the next month. If people want more information, then go to flinthorrorcon.com. On Twitter, we're Flint Horror Con. On Facebook, we're Flint Horror Con. We're pretty easy to find.
So look for Flint Horror Con, and chances are they're going to run into some information on this.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Well, Chris, thank you for taking the time to speak to the Big Scary Show. This is an unexpected bonus. You know, we're here out here talking to the haunted house owners and talking to other folks on the trip. We come and find some con organizers. Cons are always fun to go to. And I wish you the best of success, especially with such a big audience out here loving the cons. Get that grassroots up here, and I'm sure in just a couple of years we're going to be seeing you expand to 2 days and even better.
Thank you. We're hoping to. We appreciate your time. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Once again, Drew Badger live on the Midwest Haunters Convention pre-show tour up in Flint, Michigan for the Big Scary Show, and I am out. So Drew Badger here talking late night here at MHC. Why, my God, it's Doc from Arx Mortis down in the appropriately named Killen, Alabama. Doc, we go back at least a couple of years. How
we
you
do,
doing,
we
man?
Do, we do. I'm doing great, brother. Doing
and
great.
It's great to have you here as an MHC virgin.
Yay! Virgin!
So what's going on with you, man?
Man, having a good time, drinking the booze, meeting lots of cool-ass people.
Excellent, man. We love
ass
to
on the radio?
Do what now?
Is ass okay on
you
the radio?
We're not on the radio. We're online. You can say ass.
Awesome!
And we can buzz things out.
Awesome. Of course. We can edit that
beat stuff. Me all you want.
I ain't beating you, man. That's okay.
Beep!
Beep you? Is that some kind of colloquialism down
it
there?
It is down the south.
I'm from the Carolinas. You know, we can have that. It is northern Alabama.
Northern
so, you know,
Alabama.
Yankee Alabama. Thing.
Alabama that almost.
So what's going on with Arx Mortis this year?
Man, we're having a good time.
Heard you got a second haunt going on.
We do. We got the outside haunt. We got the inside haunt. Things are going good. Got clowns this year.
Oh.
Yeah, I love clowns.
Well, can I say that on the air?
You can
beep that one
out. A lot of beeping going on this interview.
Badger. Oh, there's plenty of been beeping going on all week so far.
Badger hates clowns.
I have
we've
never
got
claimed that such thing.
And we've got a guy that actually does clowns right.
Well, that's because a clown killed my dad, guys. I mean, come on.
I mean,
way to bring up the old memories.
Lots of pain.
Right here.
That's what we work for, those pain
hurts.
That's why we bring clowns back.
Oh, you bet. So what else is going on up down there, man?
Having cool a good stuff? Time. We got Vinny. Sherry's doing better.
Good. Everybody wish Sherry Grosso a very speedy recovery from her incident.
Yes, no
Best
doubt.
Best wishes
no doubt.
For you, Sherry.
So happy about that. We got Vinny out here. We're getting a little inebriated.
Very cool. I've seen a couple other members of the Arx Mortis crew out here. That's cool.
Got them all drinking.
They seem to be having a good old time up here in Columbus, Ohio, and not stuck back down in Alabama. Having a good old time.
Well, you know, first MHC, and it's where I always wanted to come to was here because it always looked like it was freaky, and you know me, I'm a freak.
Well, and we haven't even got started yet.
Awesome.
Would that explain the diapers that you're wearing?
Well, you know, on the outside of your pants? I just keep drinking.
Oh, there you go.
Because going to the bathrooms
and the hat with the twin beer cans, nice touch with the straws. Yeah, you're number one.
Logos. Yes.
Yeah, we would expect no
but he's
less.
He's got the bra with the beer bladders.
Well, you
exactly.
know, I'm sure
nipples.
That's what's underneath the move things.
This is his first year being able to come to MHC because the other years he's been at the gaming convention. You know.
Oh, that's right.
You know,
the gay men convention.
I do a lot there.
You keep saying the gay men.
I'm bringing
convention?
The rainbow back to Honors.
Bastard.
Yes, folks, there's alcohol involved here at the Midwest Honors Convention. Beautiful Columbus, Ohio.
It's going to be like 7 hours of, like, edited this.
Doc, it's been a distinct pleasure talking
you
to you.
You too.
We're gonna hang with some more of the Arx Mortis crew at various times over the weekend and tell everybody what a great time we're having here in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah!
Woo!
And don't forget to tell Pierce we said hello.
Yes.
Yes. Pierce. Hey, Pierce.
Oh! You heard it!
I didn't say a word.
That is a Big Scary Show exclusive.
We love you, Pierce.
Going on the air.
Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, Big Scary Show. Doc, thanks for talking. I'm sure he'll talk with you a little later. Because we are out.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following people and others. Creepy Collections at creepycollection.com. Jimmy Talkington and Thornweb Designs, thornwebdesigns.com. Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse, at hauntaudio.com. Von Charon Productions, Von Charon, VonCharon.com. Screamline Studios at screamlinestudios.com. We'd also like to thank the Four Ghosts. Storm, catch his ramblings at hauntminute.com. The Unknown Scare Actor, videos and more, unknownscareactor.com. The Haunt Rocker, Jerry Vane. Pick up his latest CD, The Attic, at jerryvane.com. And Drew Badger, actor, trainer, consultant, and more. RabbitBadger.biz. Be sure to tell us what you think. Send feedback to us at feedback@bigscaryshow.com. And keep sending in those news items news@bigscaryshow.com. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/bigscaryshow or on Twitter at Big Scary Show. And you can find us on iTunes. Search Big Scary Show in the iTunes store. Tune in next time when we bring you the latest news and information from the world of haunting and horror. And thank you once again for listening. Without you, we are nothing. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and others. This is the Big Scary Show.